not a debate specific question, but debate prep is something that traditionally can happen here at the White House. Who is going to stand in during the prep for Donald Trump?
Who's going to stand in? Do you want to stand in for Donald Trump? Do you want to do that? I can connect you with the campaign. That might be fun for you.
Actually, so you're saying I can go debate Joe Biden behind the scenes
for
as long as I want?
I think that might be fun for both of you. It might be fun for both of you. I think that might be fun. I don't have anything for you on that. But I appreciate the question. I appreciate you trying.
So there's also this issue of the studio audience or lack thereof. It would be the first time since 1960 that there hasn't been a studio audience in a presidential debate. I mean, personally, I think at this point, it's smart, perhaps, to take it out of the context of sort of public opinion and the kinds of party operatives. What do you think about that?
I do, too. I always felt that the audience was a pain in the neck. You know, some people are saying, well, that's going to hurt Trump because he plays to a crowd. I can tell you, as somebody who's been on that general election debate stage twice in 2016 and 2020, people aren't playing to the crowd. It is a very intense circle there between the two candidates whose podiums are just 10 feet apart and the moderator who's about 10 or 15 feet away from the two of them. Nobody is playing to the crowd. Now, the crowd.
No, nobody. And you're not going to be able to play to the crowd if, you know, you're doing all of this. I mean, I don't know. This debate, I don't know what I think of the debate. I've heard people say that people shouldn't underestimate Joe Biden at this debate, but I don't know. I mean, do you honestly believe that? Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, the radio show. Always good to be with you. And we're going to go through some of this stuff because there's a few things to go through today. There's a bunch of different various issues and we're trying to juggle it all. But this debate, I don't know if you were aware of the restrictions for it. And we're going to dive into this because they don't want crowds. They don't want this. I mean, he probably wants to, not have a crowd so he can have a teleprompter. And not have the teleprompter be, you know, right up front and center. But that's ultimately, you know, we'll see. I think that he's worried about being heckled. They wanted some insane time limits. I put this out. If you get the radio prep, I put this out in your Substack for you subscribers, the radio prep. Some of the demands that the Biden camp has been making. It's a little. You know, I mean, it's just weird that he's demanding this. I mean, that he wanted everything to happen before early voting, which that's actually the only one thing that I don't really object to, is having these debates take place before early voting begins. Because with early voting, you know, a lot of the times, and that was kind of the criticism with some of the previous debate, is that with early voting, you have how many people? I mean, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that cast their vote for early voting, who then you see the debates and then they see these two candidates talk. But at the same time, I disregard all of that because these are people that everyone has known. They've seen them in debates before. Both of them have been in the White House. I just kind of reject that. But I think Biden wants it to be earlier than later because it benefits him. If it's earlier in the election season, then if there's any kind of October surprise or if there's any kind of development with Hunter Biden's case or anything like that that comes out, then that makes it, you know, I mean, he's already got the votes in the bag, right? He's not going to really have to speak to any of those developments in the debate. So I don't know. We'll see how that particular aspect of it goes. But some of the other restrictions, they said it wanted one-on-one. They didn't want to have RFK. Apparently, he doesn't want RFK to be involved in it. Biden's campaign says no third-party candidates allowed. I'm not sure that RFK is even polling to the point where he can be in the debate. Because I know for the primary debates and everything, you have to meet a certain polling threshold. And I don't know if that's something that RFK as a third party candidate has made. I don't know if that's a benchmark that he has made. And then I think that does matter because, you know, if you're not polling enough to even merit a presence on the stage, well then you're not owed it. I don't know. If the people aren't supporting you and you're not getting those votes, whether it's at the primaries or caucuses. I mean, but at the same time, I think it's funny because I think that Biden would struggle. And I'm actually okay with that. But those questions, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to give him the damn questions in response? Like, I'm just curious. as to like how all like how what I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't if that I wouldn't be surprised if that was a caveat. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, because remember, that was the whole Donna Brazile thing with CNN. She blocked me after that. Did I tell you that? With Donna Brazile? Because after I had questioned, you know, like, why are you giving these? Why did you give the debate questions? Why did you leak them to Hillary Clinton? Because I've known her. She got real mad about it, but I don't care. But I don't know if that's something that they're that would happen. I don't know if that's something that would happen here. I really don't. No audience. They don't want any audience. They said they don't want it to be a huge spectacle. But isn't that kind of a that's the point of a debate, right? It's a huge spectacle. I think that he just doesn't want people to see how bad off he is. That's what I think. I think that he doesn't want people to see how bad off he is, how much he stumbles, how much he has to rely on this teleprompter. That's kind of, you know, what I really think it is. I just think that that's, you know, it is what it is. That's it. So it's, that's just the nature of it. So they said that the debates, they said that they'd be no audience, one-on-one. They'd have their moderator. They would not have any third-party candidates. They want to do it before, and by they, I mean Biden. I don't think that he's given any caveats. I don't think that he's given anything like that, do you? I don't think that he's listed. I haven't seen any. He hasn't listed any demands or anything like that. But some of these, though, I have a feeling that there are going to be more as it goes on. I have a feeling that there are going to be more demands as it goes on. So that's just some of. We're going to dive in deeper into all of this because there's a bunch of other stuff to touch on. One of the other things that I want to hit on, we've got the ongoing trial. I really don't care unless there's a big development. I just really wish that the candidates would get up there and say something different besides going on and on and on about the trial. One other thing real quick, if I can go back to these debates, I forgot to include this. The Atlantic is begging him not to do it. I listed this in the prep as OMG, don't let Biden do this debate, says the Atlantic. They said that Biden should not debate Trump. They said that the networks want their show, but to give the challenger equal status on a TV stage would be a dire normalization of his attempted coup. That's David Frum over at the Atlantic. I know, wrap your head around that one. Gag me now. That's what passes this thought anymore today. So we're going to talk more about this. Also, one of the things that we've been discussing, I don't know if you saw this last night. I posted it on Facebook last night. There's a, I think it ran this morning, again, over at Substack. So at Facebook, or Meta now, I suppose, over at Meta, they deleted all of my photos with the Dallas conservative Jewish group. So I got this notice from Facebook last night that all of my photos with the Dallas Jewish conservatives, I did an event with them earlier this year to raise awareness for self-defense and, you know, and the correlation with that on October 7th, the terrorist attack against Israel. I spoke at one of their events and Facebook told me that because they had a link to get, they had free tickets and you could go and get a free ticket. It's called Human Ticks. Humanitics, and it's an application that is predominantly used by conservatives and Christian organizations, and they don't collect, they don't violate Facebook's terms of service. They don't collect any private data. They don't do any of that stuff. That's all a lie. That's one of the reasons why conservatives like using them, because they don't collect all that stuff. It's just a way for them to keep a headcount of how many people are coming to their event, which makes perfect sense if you're a rational person with more than two brain cells to rub together. So this, They took all of the photos. And that's the other thing, because I had multiple posts where I had photos in this and not every post had a link and they took it all down anyway. That's why I say it's suspect, because it wasn't just one post that I had reposted of them where they had that link to get their tickets. It was like a photo dump separate post that they also deleted that didn't even include any references to the ticket link. And that's why I call shenanigans on this. So I demanded a review. I doubt I'll get it. The likelihood is that it was reported by Hamas loving anti-Semites. I mean, I'm used to being censored by big tech. I'm still pretty throttled on X. And the left likes to lie and be like, oh, it's just because you don't have any engagement. No, it's because you rat commie bastards decided to freeze my account in the wake of Parkland, in which for 6 months straight, I had the exact same follower and followers count. Meaning for 6 months, I didn't even lose anybody. I didn't gain anyone. My post that I would put up, and this was pre-Musk, the post that I would put up would get zero views, zero engagements. They started deleting anywhere from 10 to 20,000 followers a night. And they probably deleted over a million of my followers in total. And the reason I know this is because I have a 3-year-long folder of screenshots that I took 3 times a day because I'm absolutely blanking bonkers. I told you guys I'm the most litigious person you will ever meet in your life. So I have a folder saved where I took screenshots 3 times a day, every single day. Actually, it was over a 3-year period. And you can see, literally, it's all meta. It has all the metadata, everything. And you can see that for months, everything was frozen. Nobody was seeing any of my posts. I actually had my bosses reach out and ask why I wasn't promoting my radio show on social media because nobody could see the stuff that I was doing. I am constantly reported on YouTube. I've had my videos removed, demonetized, and it's because of these rat bastard, you know, low T progressives that are so terrified that a smarter conservative can articulate a point better than them that they have to shut me down. And that's a fear that they have because they're not confident enough in their own belief and they're unable to articulate a reasonable defense of their positions. So they want to shut everyone else down. This, however, is the first time, though, that I've had a bunch of anti-Semites that succeeded in taking down my stuff. And again, I maintain it wasn't just the post where I had reshared of theirs that included this link to their completely benign ticket thing that conservatives use, which there's the rub. They targeted a conservative ticket application. But it was the separate post that I had where I had my own photos and photos with them that was just photos that they also took down. So this excuse is a lie. It was a bunch of anti-Semites that took it down. That's exactly what it was. So I don't know. I'll update you whether or not they actually, you know, do anything. But I'm just, you know, it's so stupid. Progressives are the weakest people. They're weak. People joke and say it's a mental illness. It's a weakness of spirit. It's a weakness of mind. It's a weakness of heart, and it's a weakness of intelligence. There's no other thing to say about it. So coming up, a number of things to touch on. The DOJ is still still rolling into my town to try to bully parents. And the progressives are coming out of the woodwork because now they're getting pushback from the same parents that defeated him at the ballot box. And we're going to talk all about that. We have all the latest with the debate. We're also going to get into how the FBI and DHS have issued a warning on foreign terrorist groups for June Pride Month. Sounds like those encampments are about to get a little weird. The time is now to revolutionize how you approach health and wellness. So I want to introduce you to Lumen. It's a groundbreaking handheld metabolic coach. And with Lumen, you can track your metabolism through your breath and get real-time insights on whether you're burning fat or carbs. And the best part is that the Lumen app provides tailored guidance to enhance your nutrition, your workouts, your sleep cycles, even stress management. So it works pretty easy. You just breathe into your Lumen device first thing in the morning and you get this snapshot of your metabolism for the day along with a personalized nutrition plan. And plus you can use it before and after workouts and meals, ensuring that you're always in tune with what's happening in your body. It helps you read your body's signals, and it gives you an accurate metabolic reading, whereas you usually would have to go to a lab for that. Your metabolism is your body's engine, and it powers everything that you do. So optimizing it with Lumen means easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep. So if you're ready to take the next step in your health journey, head over to lumen.me and use code DanaShow for $100 off your Lumen device. Remember, that's lumen.me, lumen.me. And don't forget to use code DanaShow for $100 off. Thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode and helping everybody achieve their health goals.
Don't let these people think you're a moron. Biden claims he brought inflation down from 9 to 1%, blaming corporate greed and shrinkflation. He says that people like you actually have money that they don't want to spend.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so doing the jobs of 50 people. This is magician David. I don't care about this headline. I really don't give a rat's ass. David Copperfield's accusations, I don't care. Inflation hits 20% under Joe Biden, pushing small businesses to the brink. They said, well, this isn't a surprise. They said the country hit a sad milestone. Inflation under the president hit a cumulative 20%. The dollar values plummeted on his watch. BLS also confirmed that the consumer price index is resurgent and growing faster than average wages. Combining with weak GDP growth, The data shows the economy is re-entering stagflation. I don't think we ever left it. So that's a stupid comment from the Hill. Let's see this. Retirees, they're running out of money because everyone's broke because this administration won't stop spending. And stupid people that are probably the product of incest and drugs and drinking. They decided that they wanted to go and vote for a Democrat because they like their motto better. I hope you get the asteroid you deserve. Pump and dump. S&P 500 jumps 1% to post record close ending session about 5,300 for the first time. People who are economically illiterate don't care. They don't care. Because they don't even know what that means. They really don't. Just think about it. The restaurant industry, they're saying that they can't afford to be open. They can't afford to be closed. It's called a shocking state. There's a story after story. Unfortunately, if you were to read the piece at MSN, they've got a barely literate reporter who doesn't know how to stack a story. And the lead's buried all the way in the seventh graph. But what am I talking about, you know? But anyway, the point of the story is that most restaurants are struggling. It's not even half. It's like a majority now. And they still have been trying to claw back after being forced to lock down by the same Democrats in government that are running for re-election now. Let's see. There's talk about ticket splitting, hurting Democrats. It's this piece that actually there's legitimately an honest piece that was ran some god-awful half-baked publication. But anyway, they were getting into ticket splitting on the left, which has mostly been discussed on the right, especially in states like Texas, where you've had the removal of the single party ticket where you could just register as Republican, you get your Republican Party ticket. Now you can't do that anymore. And split ticket voting is ultimately what caused Ted Cruz to lose the biggest conservative district in Texas to Beto O'Rourke because you had a lot of split ticket voting. Now this is something that's happening on the left. And this makes me kind of wonder, going back to what we were talking about in the first segment with the debate and RFK being present, if that's one of the reasons why Democrats in the Biden campaign are being so hardcore against having any kind of third party candidate to participate in the debate, because the split ticket and the places where it can be done, that can be, I mean, if you don't have any enthusiasm for Biden, they're going to vote for everybody else down ticket perhaps, but they're not going to be voting for Biden up at the top. So that's an interesting thing. Also, Biden officials want to, quote, wrap up the Gaza war. They want a proposed, quote unquote, Palestinian Hamas coalition government, which is stupid because that's what they already have. Do these people not know the lay of the land over here? We're going to get into a whole bunch of other stuff. The debate, we've got the DOJ versus parents and education, and so much more. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee to drink out there, that loves America, supports our rights. They're just really, I honestly think that Big Coffee, you know, like the big coffee companies out there that have dominated this market for so long, I think they're so threatened by the presence of Black Rifle Coffee and that they're mainstreaming American values again. And also, you know, too, I mean, it's Black Rifle, right? They make great coffee. They employ veterans and active duty, and they do everything right here in the U.S. They get the best beans. They have the best roast. They roast them right here themselves in Tennessee and Utah. And you're getting the best coffee out there. It's bougie coffee, but it's not bougie prices. It's super affordable. A lot of people think that because something sounds boutique-y, it's going to be like expensive, and it's not. And when you join the coffee club, you get free shipping on top of it. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it's delivered free on your doorstep every single time you want it. It's awesome. BlackRifleCoffee.com is the website. And when you use code Dana, you're going to save 20%. They have ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups ready to drink. They have apparel, grinders, mugs, everything that you need for your perfect cup of coffee, they have. So try it for yourself at BlackRifleCoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Congresswoman, recognize you're going somewhere completely different. First, you started talking about how a doctor should have the rights to not offer particular care. Then you stretch it out to provide for the system-wide services.
Yes, you've put out this guidance.
Very different.
You've put out this guidance, and doctors do need to know.
Yes.
What are you going to do if they refuse to provide this care?
A doctor, if that doctor has religious objections, that doctor, under these rules, is not required to offer
the
care.
Okay, so you're committing here today that you will not withhold federal funding.
Doctors don't get federal funding, ma'am.
But the hospitals do.
Okay, so now talk to me about the
hospitals.
Don't confuse the two.
Okay.
A doctor's not a hospital.
But the doctors are working in these hospitals. Are you going to say, today, are you committing that you will not withhold federal funding from those healthcare facilities?
If a healthcare facility is violating the law and not providing the service they're required to,
we are not entitled to the resources. Withdraw federal funding.
So this is Xavier Becerra. Gosh, it's taken everything I have to be nice. I don't really want to be nice, though. I feel like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. There's a time to be nice and a time to not be nice. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen all over. The question, they were having, going back and forth as to whether or not HHS, and Xavier Becerra was the AG of California after Kamala Harris. So he was the AG of California. Now, for some reason, he's there at Health and Human Services. He has no idea about health care or managing health care. I don't even think we need an HHS, but that's beside the point. He has no idea about any of this stuff. And so he's there. He will not commit to refusing to withholding taxpayer dollars. These are taxpayer dollars, right? Or just, you know, grants or funding, whatever, from hospitals if they are not doing genital mutilations on minors, on children, in the name of their parents' fantasy of living out their selectivist dreams. That's what it's about. And for him to sit there and try the semantics, well, you know, the doctors don't get the money. It's the hospitals. Where the hell do you think doctors work, wise ass? Where do you think they work? Do they work on the street corner? Do they work in a bodega? Do they work at a 7-Eleven? They work in a hospital. What facility gets the taxpayer dollars? The hospital. Who employs the doctors? The hospital. Who pays the doctors? The hospital. So how is the tax dollars that's going to the hospital that pays the doctors with the tax dollars not getting the tax dollars for this? You absolute wise-ass Marxist. Do you not understand this? Don't play this semantics. I would have climbed over that and slapped the glasses right off his ass. Done with this. I'm done being nice. I'm done being courteous. It's the fight for the soul of our kids. I'm kind of done with your tea in the harbor for less. Our ancestors are looking down at us like you weaklings. Come get me. This withholding funds, it's semantic garbage. She was very classy, though, about her Q&A. But they think you're stupid. They think that they can say this stuff. Oh, well, you know, you stupid woman. That was his inference. You silly woman. It's the tax dollars go. The doctors and hospitals, don't confuse the two. Are you a moron, Mr. Becerra? Where do they get their checks? Who signs them? Administrators at the hospital. That's who pays them. So yeah, you're withholding. For sex change operations for young children, they're grafting thigh meat onto children's genitals to give them fake schlongs. That's what this is. They have no nerve endings. They have no function. It's just an attachment of meat in between their legs that they have constant pain and they have to take constant medication for. And any parent that allows this to happen to a child that's developing and is still in puberty, any parent that is pumping their kids up full of hormone blockers before these kids have even gone through puberty, that's child abuse. You're an abusive parent living out your slacktivist dreams through your kids because you weren't able to be special on your own. So you're trying to do it at the sake of your child's health. That's the truth of it. You can get mad about it all you want, but it's the truth. If you feel triggered, it's because I'm convicting you with my words. Nonsense. But you know what? This is what the left does. They weaponize these agencies and then they go after kids and they go after parents. Case in point. Over at Chapter and Verse, I have a piece out just a little bit ago that gets into the school district. We've been talking about this and I'm going to keep talking about it because this is an ongoing fight. They brought the DOJ in. You had a bunch of parents that got mad over... Well, they were kind of asleep at the wheel, to be honest. And then lockdown showed them something. Lockdown showed a lot of parents things, didn't it? A lot of you out there, you were kind of shocked when your kids began doing classes at home and you were looking at the materials and you thought to yourself, wow, what's this? What's been going on in my kids' school? Your attention was arrested. If there was one silver lining that came out of the mess that was that pandemic, it arrested your attention. And you saw what was happening to your kids' minds and what people were doing behind your back, indoctrinating your kids. And our school district was no different. It was a cultural competency plan, a bunch of progressives. And that's what it was. It was a group of progressive parents that got together and they decided that they wanted to enforce critical race theory in the schools. Imagine if your kid's going to school. Think about this for a minute. What if your kid goes to school and throughout the day, someone is offended by something that your kid innocuously did or said? And I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I have all of these materials linked. I've written about them. We've talked about them. I mean, it was as simple as the phrase that they used was a perceived microaggression. Imagine your kid going to school and say he's got an American flag on his truck and he parks his truck in the parking lot and someone takes offense to it. Well, that's a perceived microaggression. I'm not kidding you. That's literally a complaint that came from some of the progressives about a high school senior at the district where we were fighting this. That would have been logged as a microaggression for him. It would have been attached to his permanent record with no explanation. And then when he applied for either if a job wanted to look at his high school record, if he was going to trade school, if he was going to go be an apprentice, or if he was going to go to college, that would have followed him. No joke. That's the kind of stuff they're talking about. So imagine you're dealing with that with your kid. Your kid's going to school and they're having sensitive Marxist perceived microaggressions attached to their record. That's one of the things that they wanted to do. They wanted to take away our school resource officer program that we voted on and agreed to pay our tax dollars to. They wanted to undermine our vote in a free and fair election and take the salary for the SRO officers that we voted on and paid for and agreed to and committed to and redirect that to a DEI chief, a chief diversity officer to implement DEI and oversee the snitch program to report students, which was an actual real thing. And it was actually displayed on a slide that teachers used when they got together in a meeting over the summer right before lockdown or right when they were trying to do the remote learning at home. No joke. That all happened. This is the stuff we're talking about. They wanted to incorporate teaching discrimination, equity over equality. And equity, as you know, is about guaranteed outcome. It's not about equal opportunity. In order for equity to work, discrimination is guaranteed. And they had entire courses that they were going to mandate high schoolers take in order to graduate. These are just a few of a litany of examples. I could spend the entire show, 3 hours today and the rest of the week, going through all the proposals and the insanity of this that they were demanding. And they wanted all of us to fund it. They were asking for more tax dollars to fund this stuff on top of it. And so when parents fought back and it was broken open into the public by a Cuban family in our town who were ignored by NBC and all of the media, I personally watched an NBC producer blow past the father of that family because his brown skin made him ineligible for their racial narrative. And they wanted to go find a white grievance mother, a progressive Marxist to talk to instead. I watched it happen. People recorded it. It's a true story. While they were trying to accuse everyone else of racism, they ignored the fact that over 70% of the town voted against their DEI initiatives that they were trying to get the school district to adopt. So they got mad. And now they had four students claim that, well, their civil rights were violated. And one of them was discrimination about LGBTQ, whatever, barbecue. So the DOJ is like, oh, well, students complain. We got to come in now. And now they're demanding the school adopt all this stuff again. So they're trying to do with the DOJ what they failed to do at the ballot box. And I've been seeing all these people come out of the woodwork. I watched this one business owner. I don't know if she's a business owner. She works at this studio called the Bar Method. What is that? Do people take them? I studied classical ballet for 18 years, so forgive my snobbery. What is that? What the hell's the Bar Method? Steve, you're a millennial. What the hell is that? Is that where they go and pretend to do ballet? Okay, I don't either. I'm not the Lululemon, get me my pumpkin spice latte crowd. So this, like, maybe, I don't know if you are. I'm not throwing judgment, but I'm just saying I'm a snob about it. Anyway, some lady was like railing. She was like, this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. She has it on her profile and all this other stuff. And she called 70% of the town racist on social media because they voted against this. I'm like, you realize that you, a white Marxist, typical, are excluding the contributions of the numerous minority families that, if you want to get really racial about it, they were louder than the white families about this. That's a fact. Sure, there were white families that joined them, but they were the loudest and led the charge, and they were the ones who actually filed suit against the school, not white families. It was the families of color that did it. But all of these white Marxists ignore that because they have a fetish with screaming racism. So you have this lady who wants to be the white savior over at the Bar Method who's going on about how 70% of the town is racist. Does that include the people whose skin color is darker than yours, sweetheart? I'm curious. Like, how stupid to do that with your dumb business right there. And, you know, like, what is the matter with you? And then they get mad if people don't want to go to their business. Well, you showed your backside. I mean, I'm all for letting people fly their freak flag, but I don't like working with Marxists. That's why I want to know who does what. I don't want the government to shut them down. I want to know who the Marxists are out there. There's a Red Scare 2.0. But they're trying to get the DOJ to do what they failed to do with the ballot box. And ain't that just like sore losers? Over 70% of the vote, every election, we took over the school board. This is what you got to worry about in your school. I've been hearing from some of you after we started talking about this. And you all were saying that there was, in fact, I don't want to give the school district away because it was a smaller school district, but they were saying that they were dealing with a couple of parents that were trying to propose, what is it, the Ibram X. Kendi, some of the reading materials. They said this was last year, which seems kind of late, right? Like anybody was still trying this. And they said that they were watching, and someone cited Southlake because they, because the progressives here, who are very well connected and well funded, were able to work with NBC and collude with them to bring in the DOJ. And so they were trying to figure out, the two parents that were doing this were trying to figure out how to do that in their school district to force this CRT DEI initiative nonsense into their smaller school. And that's like something, that's like their playbook. If they lose, then they want to bring in the federal government. If they now think about how this, look at this. This is a trend with them. Look at 2016. What happened? Donald Trump won the election. And then what happened? Hillary Clinton was mad. So they decided to weaponize every agency to try to undermine a free and fair election. They got the FBI. I don't care if you like Trump or not. I got my criticisms of him. Lord knows. I don't care if you like him or not. You either can ignore that this actual concrete fact history took place, or you can realize it. And then also acknowledge that it could be used against you, especially if you got somebody like me running. If I ran for office, I would absolutely abuse all my authority and destroy all my opponents. I'm not even going to lie. I should not. I'm the type of person who should not ever be allowed in elected office because I will abuse it and I will literally destroy your lives and the lives of everyone associated with you. I fully admit that I'm Gladriel with the one ring. Never put me in elected office. I would never want to represent anyone who would want to. And I'm pointing this out with 2016 because look what they did. They lost, and what happened? They used all of these bureaucracies to go after people like Carter Page, all of these other people. And guess what? There was no evidence of wrongdoing. They made it all up. But this is a trend for the left. If they can't do it at the ballot box, by God, they're going to weaponize government agencies to go after you. We're coming up on another election in November. Why would you want to give these people more power? We got a lot more on the way. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up. Your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in, what, 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we ended up calling, we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The first debate will be next month, which is the earliest a presidential debate has ever been. And if we're being honest, an early bird debate feels right for these guys. Yep, Biden and Trump will meet June 27th on CNN, and one of Biden's debate conditions was not having an audience. So that explains why it's on CNN.
Oh, Yeah. Ooh. Is he getting funny again? I mean, that, I'm just saying. Is he funny again?
Yeah, that was genuinely funny stuff.
Am I too partisan to laugh now? These people have radicalized me.
Probably.
I don't think so. I mean, it is true. I mean, nobody's going to watch it on there. Are they going to, you know what? Are they going to put them in like little sound boxes? Wasn't there a game show from the 60s where they put people in those little soundproof boxes and then they, are they going to do that so they can't hear each other except whatever's piped in? I have glorious design ideas for this stage.
I think they will. I think, because how else are you going to stop Trump from talking over Biden unless you put them each in their own isolated room?
Do you know how funny it will be if he's in an isolated room and he's just talking and they muted him and you know he's talking and you can just imagine his tone? That is going to be like a video meme. That's hysterical. I kind of want that to happen now. But you know what? You can put a life alert button over Joe Biden's little thing to alert people that he's ready to talk or something. Is that what they'll... He hit life alert. He hit life alert. Life alert. Life alert. Every time he wants to talk. You know, that'd be funny. I don't know what to expect. June 27th. I don't know what to expect from that. Some people... Okay, what is the wrong with the brains of people who say that Biden won the earlier debates with Trump? I'm not saying this is like... I don't become a fan of any politician, but I watch those debates. Are they on Hunter's crack because the drug? Because I cannot imagine how they think Biden won any of that. Right? You guys watch those. We're going to talk about this more coming up. We got a lot of stuff still to hear. We got some culture stuff. Tinkerbell is... now she's got to go away. I'll explain. Stick with us. Gold Co. Precious Metals. They want to make sure that in this economy that you can diversify and protect your savings. And you need to do that by getting precious metals like gold and silver through Gold Co. It's a very volatile economy. And I don't want to wait around to see how bad it could get. So do what I've done. Add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. They'll help you out. They got a free 2024 wealth protection kit. And you can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. All while supplies last. Get your free wealth protection kit to arm you with the facts about how to protect yourself in the face of inflation, exploding national debt, all of it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews, and they have a very unique approach with an education-first stance. They want to give you thorough information and show you everything that you need to know about the economy and how gold IRAs work. They make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. Totally transparent, no pressure. Get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's danalikesgold.com. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour. Ahoy, mateys. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, the simulcast on Channel 347, DirecTV, X, where else? Rumble, YouTube. Can you think? That deleted my post with the Dallas Jewish conservatives because they hate Jewish people, apparently. All of that. So welcome back. We've been covering a lot of stuff the past hour. There's a lot of shenanigans to cover today. And then you get the trial and all that other stuff. Can we talk, though, about what happened with this story involving Harrison Butker? I don't even know football. This guy... He gave this speech, where was it, at Benedictine College? He's a grad there, right? And so he came back and he gave a commencement speech and he went after woke culture. He went after indoctrination and he was critical of the bad policies of the administration and all this stuff. Kane pointed out to me that his own team doxed him.
It was the city, actually.
The city, Kansas City. Kansas City doxed him. The actual verified account of Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City doxed him. They said, quote, just a reminder that Harrison Butker lives in the city of Lee's Summit, which is right there. Isn't that where's that big park that's there? There's a big park up there, like Worlds of Fun or something in that, and like Lee's Summit. And then they came back. They tried to delete it, but guess what? Guys, you know this. The internet is forever. They tried to delete it, and then they came back and said, we apologize, except it says, we apologies for our previous tweet. It was shared in error.
An error?
The apologies for it came.
Oh.
It was shared in error. Like, they didn't mean to blast where he lives and dox him. They didn't mean to do that because they're mad that he had a different opinion than they do when he gave his commencement address at Lee Summit, or at Lee Summit Benedictine College. And they were trying to deny it. They went after him. They went after him. And the NFL, they said something. Because he was encouraging women graduates, like, don't be ashamed if you want to be a, if you want to be a homemaker either, because women do get a lot of nonsense for that. You know, the feminism was about you're not allowed to choose a choice different from a feminist. Did you guys know that's what feminism is? Men out there, that's what feminism is. That's what it has turned into. Women aren't free. See, feminism began because they wanted to say that women were under the yoke of the patriarchy. And they don't believe that women are free until women are under the yoke of the matriarchy now. And so if you make a choice different from that of a feminist, then you're not allowed to have that choice. And he was saying, look, women, you can do what you want to do and celebrate that. And apparently he was getting like the fourth waivers, whatever the hell wave we're on now. It's a tsunami. I don't know. They're mad at him. So now they're saying the NFL is distancing itself from his speech. He's the kicker for Kansas City Chiefs. He was in Kansas. He was at Benedictine College. He graduated from there. And he got backlash for his comments. It's not like he took a knee on the field during the anthem over a false claim about police brutality or anything. By the way, that was my only ever beef with that. I don't care if people, I think peaceful protest is peaceful protest, but I don't think you should do it based on a lie. And that was my criticism of what, who's that bad football player that decided to be an activist because he couldn't play well anymore? Kaepernick. He was basing it on a lie that said that white police officers kill more black assailants than white assailants, which has been demonstrably disproven by the Department of Justice's own figures that they released. And you can measure it over a 6-year period. In fact, it's increased with white assailants. That's fact. These numbers are hidden on a thing that we call the internet. I mean, I literally found it in 2 seconds of Google searching when the protest first started. So it was based on a lie. That was my only ever objection. But there, people are madder at Harrison Butker for this over than anything on that. And nothing he says here is wrong. He congratulated the women and he was saying that, you know what, if you want to get married and be a homemaker, that's awesome also. Good for him to celebrate that because we know sure as hell women don't. Feminists don't do it. So they're saying the NFL is kind of like, oh, what are we going to, well, who cares? He can say whatever the hell he wants to say. He didn't say anything wrong. The Chargers social media team, apparently they were poking fun at him over it. I don't know. But why did Kansas City, the town, the city, why did they dox where he lived, Kane?
Great question. So you could look at it either way, because you know how I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
I don't.
I know you,
because they don't deserve it.
That's one thing we just don't agree on.
Well, no, I do if it's a certain type of person. But yes, when they're repeat offenders, no, blank
yeah,
you.
You're not,
I know,
you're not your game.
I know your game.
But this looks to me either A, they're super proud of him, and they just want to tell everybody that this is where he lives right here, because we're proud of him, which I don't think is the case. Or they did maliciously, you know, zero in on where he lives.
Mm.
So could yeah. only be one of those two.
I mean, who runs that Twitter account? Apologies for our previous tweet. Like, who runs this? And it wasn't shared in error. They tried to dox him. Why is that account not suspended? That's a clear violation of access terms of service. They tried to delete it, but look, it lives forever though. And by the way, all of these other media outlets were trying to defend Kansas City for doing it. And they're like, look, we found his address. Here's a picture of his house. Like, they did all this stuff. This is what the media did to this guy. I couldn't even tell you where Kaepernick lives. I don't even know. Hell, I don't know what team he plays for. I don't even know. I know nothing about football. Baseball town. Hi. So these are problems, right? Yeah. Problems. That's just so lame. This is how the left responds. This is why some conservatives used to think that I was too mean and that I was too bare-knuckle brawler. Now they're like, oh, we see it was necessary. Yeah, I'm not becoming, I'm not looking into the abyss and having the abyss look back at me. I'm throwing the, this is Sparta, and kicking Xerxes' minions into the abyss. That's what I'm doing. There's a difference. But yes, I know. I didn't mean to get all Nietzsche, but you get what I'm saying here. Few things. All right. I want to switch it up a little bit here. I had a lot of pieces that came out on Substack. I didn't mean to like drown people. Sometimes if you're a subscriber, just live with it. Because there were some things that y'all needed to be aware of and y'all needed to know about, right? We've been talking about the left a lot, but I do like to point out some things, especially when I see promising people that are hurting themselves. And I don't know if y'all saw any of this, but I put it up. This is a piece that I have up on. Let me pull this up here. Forgive me because I'm clicking all the things. Not everything has to be a flex. Now, this has to do with an ad. We mentioned it yesterday. I'm not going to play it again because we can't. It's this, but there's a development here. So she's running for Secretary of State in my home state of Missouri. And all my family still lives there. I mean, that's where I got, you guys know, anybody who's watched this program for any length of time or knows my history, I started in activism in St. Louis. My hometown St. Louis in my home state of Missouri. My radio career, I started in St. Louis. I mean, as I've said before, I've cut my teeth in the grassroots street activism of St. Louis. I infiltrated meetings. I wore wires. I crashed protests. I phone banked. I canvassed. I raised a lot of money in hell, and with some other folks accomplished quite a lot. So, and I still have my ear to the ground as to everything that's happening there. And this is a crowded primary in the Secretary of State race. There's like, I don't know how many people are in this race. Let me look again. There are a lot, though. There's a good amount of people in this race. And one of them is this financial analyst. And I think she's got an interesting story, right? She's a financial analyst. Her family immigrated here from Colombia, for the American dream. She's like 24, 25 years old. She's really young. And she wants to become Secretary of State. And she did a video where she's walking, running around in body armor. I don't know why she would have body armor. She wasn't in the military, from what I know. But she had guns in the ad. And I like guns. So I can't really complain there. I didn't have a problem. I really didn't have a problem with the ad. Although I will got to say, I have some friends who are hardcore that they literally worked in the Trump campaign. And some of them worked with his different legal battles in different states. And God love them. But they consider themselves the MAGA gatekeepers. You know, you all have those friends, right? Like it doesn't matter if y'all voting for him. You got some people that are like that they are nominated as the gatekeepers, right? And I feel like some of them were complaining and they were like, well, she's cosplaying MAGA. Like they're the true judges. She's a cosplayer, MAGA cosplayer. She had guns in her head, so I can't really complain. But then I saw this because she makes videos like this for social media. And I think that's fine because it does the point of sparking conversation. And it's not a bad move to make when you're trying to build name ID and buzz in a crowded primary race. I get it. But one bad move to make, though, is to attack other conservatives online. And by other conservatives, I mean people who have been conservative longer than you, who have been in activism longer than your family's even been here, who have been grinding in the movement to eke out victories in a society that has short attention spans and even shorter memories. In other words, conservatives who paid the cost to ask provocative questions of people who are auditioning for taxpayer government jobs. Which brings me to one of my friends, Sarah Gonzalez, who first she had said, protect this woman at all costs. Well, then, and I've heard some of this stuff, I hear all the rumors and the discussions and opposite. There were some people who were in St. Louis, not a lot, but just some, that were questioning how conservative this Gomez lady is. And they were also concerned. They said she's 25 years old. She seems more zealous than disciplined, which is that's a very good point. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And they had some concerns, and some of them were talking about it a little publicly on Facebook and that, not in a mean way, but Sarah had been cautioned, well, we don't know how conservative she is before you start to hype up. And I get it because, look, I'm not saying Sarah's guilty of this, but conservatives have been underserved for years. And so we tend to get excited over anything that has a pulse, right? And so, you know, that's I think that's why they were so hot on this video. So people were like, okay, Sarah, just, you know, FYI. So she tweeted, I'm told this chick is not a real conservative. Missouri, don't vote for her, but I respect the trolling. That's all. So then Valentina Gomez takes up the zeal a couple notches and she tweets, quote, whoever controls you in your little show and told you to say this is clearly afraid because I don't owe anything to anyone and I cannot be controlled. Continue to cry and watch me become what Missouri's 41st Secretary of State. Check my funding and my policies. Also, your jealousy is showing. Thanks for being a fan. She said this to Sarah. And I'm like, damn, girl, tap the brakes for a hot second, okay? Like, let's slow the roll here. Fire is what's the saying? Fire is a terrible master, right? Yeah. It's a good asset, but it's a terrible master. So, look, this is normal politics to ask questions and even say provocative things, especially if you've been a conservative for a long time and you're in commentary. If you hear something like that and you're an up-and-coming politician, prove them wrong. If you're a good strategist, the first move of a good strategist is to quell their concern with good strategy. You seek first, a good strategist first seeks to turn disbelievers and critics into believers and friends. And then after that, then you can break their knees. But I'm just saying, Kane's live, you know what I mean. Before you dramatically flex, which is what that was, not the ad, but the response here, you know, turn disbelievers into believers. And show some respect from the people who made it possible for you to even run and be able to run through my old neighborhood and do the stuff you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Prove her wrong then. That's it. Prove her wrong. I mean, she's new. This Gomez lady's 25 years old. And she's got to temper her zeal or she's going to become a liability to herself. That's my concern because fiery does not mean reckless. And I say this with a little bit of authority won by experience, y'all, okay? If she can do this, she's got promise. But if she can't, then she's going to relegate herself to the club of failed GOP politicos whose lack of messaging and discipline did them in the races before they even get out of the starting blocks. And that would be a real shame. We have more to come. How is it possible that America could run short of amoxicillin? Amoxicillin is like the Swiss Army knife of antibiotics because it treats so many different types of infections. Doctors prescribe it for ear, nose, throat infections. It treats lower respiratory infections, sinusitis, which I've had before, skin infections, UTIs. So again, how could America run short on it? Antibiotics come from China and India. And if you or a family member get sick and there's no amoxicillin, now what? So that's why I have a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. I've used it for strep before. It comes with amoxicillin and it's in your kit now when you need it. So this is not a first aid kit. It's like an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with those essential prescriptions to treat over 39 medical issues. It's doctor prescribed antibiotics for infections of all types like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus you have a doctor's guide so you know exactly when and how to use each prescription. You've got your medications, no waiting to see the doctor, no lines at the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. So order yours online in minutes and they'll rush it to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently more workers are cheating on drug tests. It's at the highest rate that it's been in 30 years, according to one of the largest drug testing labs in the U.S. They said the increase in tampered tests come from samples collected in 2023. And they said that it was a year for rising marijuana positive tests from employers and job candidates. This is according to Quest Diagnostics. So apparently people are going to great lengths to subvert a drug testing process. Is it just for pot?
Well, no, it's for other drugs too. But I meant, think about all the drugs that were done during the pandemic when people were.
What
just
about
at home
the
doing
damn
nothing.
Injection itself?
Right. Who's to say that injection's not going to, you know, throw up a red flag on those tests?
I don't know. I mean, I just think it's funny. I'm just laughing. I'm in a weird mood. I don't know. Netflix is going to show NFL Christmas Day games in a major broadcast change. Are they also going to go after Harrison Butker some more? I'm not done with this. Can we talk about the feminist reaction to his comments and how even some people on the right are completely just brainwashed by feminism and they don't even know about it? Do you realize that there's still a crew trapped on Baltimore's bridge?
What?
7 weeks after the collapse? They're literally stranded. Still, 7 weeks later. It's our friends over at ReadyWise. Just in case, you know, things go sideways, you want to make sure that you have meals on hand so your family can eat. You don't have to worry. You won't have to worry about what to feed your family. And it's important to be prepared. You can use code DANA20 and save 20% on any regularly priced item. They have right now an emergency 1 month supply 2 bucket bundle. It includes 36 pouches of premium survival food. The meals have 2000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day. Getting everything the body needs to make it. So if it's, you know, it's freeze-dried, dehydrated, and refrigeration are required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. It's great if there's, you know, storms. Like, we're having storms, really bad storms right now in Texas, power outages, supply chain disruption. Or maybe you just, you know, you want to go on a hunting trip, and you just want to take some food. My grandpa used to always take my grandma's jug of unsweet tea and Spam. That man ate that the whole time he was camping. Imagine if he had ReadyWise, like actual meal. Just imagine. It had been so much better. He's looking up from heaven saying, why didn't I have ReadyWise? But this is a great American company. From start to finish, from the food to where it's packed to how it's shipped out, you're supporting American jobs. So use code DANA20 at ReadyWise.com. DANA20 will get you 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is only in the past few years that I have grown encouraged to speak more boldly and directly because, as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father and as a man. To the gentlemen here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity. Fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something that you might think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds myself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur, something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. The road ahead is bright. Things are changing, society is shifting, and people young and old are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you, should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin Mass. I've been very vocal in my love and devotion to the TLM and its necessity for our lives. But what I think gets misunderstood
is that people who attend the TLM. So this is Harrison Butker. He's speaking at Benedictine College, and he talked about women in, he talked about Christian values, getting married and raising kids. And he also said that, you know, women being mothers, that's their most important role. And he's 1,000% correct. And the Kansas City, the city doxed him, and the NFL was throwing him shade. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this second hour. You can have Travis Kelce go up and chug a beer at a commencement address, and that's like celebrated. But then you have Harrison Butker, who's like, yeah, women have choices. You don't have to go into a career. And if you want to stay at home and be a mother, that's the most important thing you can do. He's right. And he didn't deny. I listened to what he had said. This is like my millionth time listening to this, or parts of it. I listened to his whole address once, and I've listened to parts of it like a million different times. And he never in his address denied women choice, which is what modern feminism does. Modern feminism states that women are not allowed to choose differently from the women that have established the cottage industry of third and fourth wave feminism. If you make a choice different from that of your feminist masters, then you are betraying your sex. And that's what Linda Hirschman actually said once. She said about 10 years ago that women who are college educated, who choose to go and stay home, they betray their sex. She and I got into it hardcore, very publicly some time ago over that. And he didn't deny, unlike, you know, modern feminism, in his address, Harrison Butker did not deny, and you know, he's a kicker for Kansas City Chiefs. He did not deny women a choice. He just said, look, if you choose this, it's the most important role you can have. And it is. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's a reason why it's a saying. Mothers are the most no shade to you dads. I do think it happens with particularly sons at a certain age. If you read Bringing Up Boys by Dobson, which is a great book and a must read for any boy mom. But women, mothers, are the most influential person in a child's life. And they stay that way for a long time. And there's a reason why it's the most important role. They are more influential than any teacher, than anybody else. It all starts in the home, which is, by the way, the way that the building blocks, the foundations of a good society, a strong society, that's how it's supposed to be. You have the home. The church is to assist what happens in the home. The community assists each other. That's how it's built. And we've gotten everything really backwards. And he's talking about this. He's celebrating women. He's celebrating women's choices. He's telling men, be unapologetic in your masculinity. Fight against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. And he's right. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why people, and there's some on the right, why people are so mad about this. There's no reason for them to be. I mean, there should not be any controversy over this. I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong with his timing either. He never told women to not have a career. He said it will be, it will be one of the best accomplishments for a woman if she becomes a wife and a mother. And especially at a Catholic college, that should not be a controversial thing. Imagine someone who graduates from a religious institution returns to give a commencement address at the religious institution, and they give a commencement address that reflects the values of the religion that upon which the religious institution was founded. Why are people shocked about this? They're mad because he's a kicker in the NFL. He's an NFL player, and they don't think that he should have access to mainstream because of his views. So he's actually being discriminated against because of his views. There's nothing wrong with what he said. And the crazy thing is where did we get to a spot as a society where telling women that being a mother is the most important role that they will ever have? Where did we get as a society to believe that that is in any way a controversial statement? How in the world is that a controversial statement? Because raising kids is more important than any of the accomplishments I've ever made in broadcasting. Raising kids has been more of an accomplishment than my best-selling books. Raising kids has been a bigger accomplishment than all of that. How is that a controversy to say? And I feel like I am in a pretty dang good authoritative spot on this because I was at one point a mother who stayed home. I freelanced, wrote on the side, and I homeschooled my kids. And then as they got older, I started to get more and more involved, and there was, you know, clearly, I think, a divine path to maybe go and do this or that. It wasn't like I sought out opportunity. I had a hobby on the side where I always wrote. In fact, that's what I went to. They don't even have a print journalism degree anymore, but I went to school for journalism. And I had a blast. I loved being at home with my kids. My husband was the one, he went out and worked. And as they got older, like I said, and then I built a website and created content, and then I got started in radio and then in television and all this other stuff, and was in activism because for them, really, then it led to everything that it led to. So I can say that with some authority and some hard-won experience. I don't know why it's denigrated today. Being a mother is more important than your career. Because for those children, you are their world. The sad thing is that feminism, particularly third wave and fourth wave, is a ruse on women and has made it to where we can no longer survive on one income. Feminists support policies that make it impossible for business to be successful. They support policies that demand that parents work longer hours to make up for the lack of stretch in their dollar, to pay for the exorbitant government spending, to pay for sending billions to Ukraine, to pay for all the entitlement programs, to pay for hotels for people who come into the country illegally, to pay for all of the benefits that they get when they cross the border illegally, to pay for sending vodka shots to homeless people in San Francisco, to pay for all of this stuff. And third and fourth wave feminism has swindled women into thinking, you got to go to work. You know why? Because they wanted another income stream for the federal government. The federal government wanted to be able to tax more, so they had this great collusion in that they could get women to also go into the workforce. Women fought for so long to be able to stay at home and raise their babies and get out of the fields, and I'll be damned, you got the federal government, the matriarchy and the patriarchy working together to convince women that they needed to have dual income streams so that the government could get more in tax. And they convinced you of all of this and ruined the economy in the process. And now you can't even make it on one income. And then they want to blame the right, which is wild. That's a real thing. And if women want to stay at home and be a caretaker, they are so harshly attacked in our society because you're denying the government a bloodline. You're creating a strong home. That means the government can't come in and be daddy or mommy. What? They hate that. In the same way that Marx hates God because he doesn't want to have anyone over him. They hate that. Doorway to big government. That's why people are having this reaction to Harrison Butker. That's why they don't like it. That's why you see a lot of, I think that there's a subversive movement on the right. I think it's a psyop, personally, to try to convince younger people that being traditional in terms of roles of a mother that stays home or this or that are good things and they want to attack them. I think it's a psyop. I think that they're trying to like engineer a reaction against what everyone is naturally gravitating towards because they see, wow, that was what has kept society together. This is why Harrison Butker, it's not even about Harrison Butker. The reason that it blew up so much is because they're mad that they have access through Butker to the NFL. You have a mainstream guy who gets a lot of eyeballs who's saying this stuff. And they're mad because they don't want those people in the mainstream. They don't want them to have access to that national conversation or to participate in it. And that's why people are having this reaction. And now you have the NFL condemning him for it. He did not say a single thing that was wrong. Not a single thing. And it shouldn't be controversial. They have like They're trying to get him kicked off the team. So they had a petition going. So my God, now they have another petition going to keep him on. That's just, it's sad. But I'll tell you something too. It's nice to hear a man affirm that. And I think it's important, particularly for younger mothers and younger women who aren't married, to hear a man affirm that. Because younger women are just bludgeoned by society. They're told that it's a betrayal if they start families and stay home. They're told that if they stay home, they're being a doormat for a man because these people don't understand what a partnership is. You have some people out there saying marriage is bad and it's too many people are getting divorced. They are trying to engineer you into thinking that marriage is bad. Women are getting hit, and young men, from every single angle. And it is so important that there are people out here that affirm that, because women are not going to hear this from other women. There is no national group of women that are mainstreamed that are going to be as vocally supportive of a woman's choice to stay home and raise her family. See, when you talk about pro-choice, that's not one of the choices that's allowed. So it's good for it. And the irony of a man affirming this before any of these national big mouth women do. Good on Harrison Butker. Protect him at all costs. Amazing that that's what the controversy is. Amazing. It really is. We have more to come. We've got Florida Man on the way. And we're also going to get into, we're following all the, there's not, I mean, if there's anything with the trial, you know, we'll cover it, but we're going to get into all of that. Patriot Mobile is, well, they're good people. And one of the fun things, the cool things that they do is that they really put their money where their mouth is, where it concerns protecting the things that you vote against. And Patriot Mobile has amazing plans. I mean, you can, with Patriot Mobile, you can get a plan tailor-made for you, your family, of whatever size it is, your business, no matter what size your business is. If you're a dink, you know, like, what is it, the dual income, no kid people, if you're those people, they got plans for you, got plans for everybody. Patriot Mobile covers absolutely everyone, and they have the best, most dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you're getting the best service, but you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you're going to save money. You can keep your phone, you can keep your number, you can upgrade, the choice is yours. They have a 100% based U.S. customer service team that makes switching easy. And I saw on Facebook, I don't know if I can say it now, but I saw on Facebook that they're also giving 2 months of free service. Of course, you can also get free activation using code Dana. If you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, they had it on their Facebook page. You can get 2 months of free service, too. So that's a really cool thing to think about. And again, free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man alive. So, this story is so gross. This was sent to me by Florida woman Amber. It's not on our rundown. I did drop it in Slack, but this is okay. I just read the headline. Tampa Bay Times. Tampa restaurant garnished plates with foxtail ferns outside from where dogs pee. Oh, God. It's apparently a Kaiseki restaurant. And it shares a space with a recent Michelin star winner. So apparently the criticism is that the $400-something meals are garnished with inedible ferns cut from where dogs pee, which is the claim. And they are, I mean, they're pretty ferns, but it's by, apparently people say, where dogs walk. And I'm sure that... Is it enough to say, I don't want to smear the restaurant. I don't know. Just don't have a fern on your plate. But Tampa Bay Times, they reported it first back in January, and now they have there's more. Is that, I mean, I'm sure they wash them. Is that enough to say? Is it? No, Kane is not convinced.
I'm not really convinced at all, actually.
Apparently, Tampa Bay Times sent someone over there to eat, and they got one of the...
One of the pea ferns?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm
not against a restaurant actually growing their own herbs or whatever.
But when they're apparently, like, witnesses say, yeah, this is where...
If they're at a ground level where dogs can just walk by and pee on them, I don't want you to, you know, procure your herbs that way.
Your garnishes? But, yeah. I mean, it's just sitting on the plate. You don't eat it. No, I don't. No, I agree with you. Okay, a Wingstop dispute. A South Florida man was arrested because he assaulted his mother during a Wingstop dispute. Coral Springs. The guy was arrested because he got into his... he got into an argument with his mom and he assaulted her over, quote, stank wings, end quote. Stank wings. 20-year-old Kevin Thompson allegedly gave his mother spoiled chicken and then demanded fresh food from another Wingstop location. When his mom asked why, he said, "I want chicken. The chicken I gave you is stank." And then he challenged his own mom to a fight, and then she punched her in the face. She fled for her safety to a Publix. I feel like if he goes to prison, he's going to get beaten by inmates who don't like it when you mistreat your mama. Because they're very specific about this stuff in the prison. I mean, there is some prison honor. I'm just saying. So he has aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, domestic battery, driving with a suspended license. Apparently he does have a record. And Tampa Bay County has, the Villages finally got beat for number of STDs. Look at that. Tampa Bay County has more reported STD cases than the Villages. Hillsborough County, they had 932 cases of nastiness.
The county versus the Villages.
Yes, the Hillsborough. Well, aren't the Villages like quite large, though?
They are.
I watched a documentary on it, and it was wild. I was like, what? They said that 932 cases per 100,000 residents, and that was just in 2022. It keeps going up. And now it's greater than that of the villages, which used to have the number one record. So, you know, as Kane says, old people aren't innocent, you know.
That's not what I say.
That's totally what he says. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
This is monumental. Today, my administration took a major step to reclassify marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug to a Schedule 3 drug. It's an important move toward reversing longstanding inequities. Today's announcement builds on the work we've already done to pardon a record number of federal offenses for simple possession of marijuana. And it adds to the action we've taken to lift barriers to housing, employment, small business loans, and so much more for tens of thousands of Americans.
He's trying to buy people off.
Look, folks, no one should be in jail merely for using or possessing marijuana.
Then why did Kamala do it?
Period.
Why'd you put him in there?
Far too many lives have been upended because of failed approach to marijuana. And I'm committed to righting those wrongs.
You can barely move your arm, C-3PO. What are you talking about? That's Joe Biden. He's, you know what? He ruined the economy. He made it to where millennials and Gen Z can't buy houses. But hey, guys, don't worry about it because pot. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Can listen around the country. Top of our third hour. So the scheduling. So this is like this old Nixon. It's like an old 1970s law. The Controlled Substances Act. And so they have like different classifications of how abusive the government says things are. But it's not the vax. That's not on there. No. So so they call them schedules. Basically, like the first classification, they have like what they say are the most easily abused drugs that have the greatest chances of dependency, like heroin, LSD, peyote. What the hell's marijuana, ecstasy? Is that supposed to be two separate words or is that one thing?
I think they forgot the comma there.
Did they forget the comma?
I think so.
How is marijuana? Okay, I'm not like a drug person. I don't know. All I know about drugs I learned from Cops, like the show. I just know. So my lab partner when I was a freshman in college was a really smart dude who smoked pot all the time, but he was a really smart guy. He was never addicted to it though. Like I mean, I would never classify. What does that even mean? Can you become addicted to marijuana?
Yeah. People can be addicted to marijuana.
The hippie drug.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Is it because they've changed? It's different now than it was like back in the olden days. Is that what it is?
I guess that would hold some weight if they didn't already classify it that way from the beginning. But they've classified it this way from the beginning.
Okay. So peyote, which is funny. Then they have the second classification, which is like the second. So you have most potential for abuse and dependence. Then it's high potential for abuse and dependence, which is Vicodin, cocaine, meth. I'm sorry. How is marijuana more addictive than meth?
Yeah, no, that's why I think it's changed.
What?
I think a lot of people have had an issue with that for a long, long time. And marijuana has been unfairly scheduled.
So the schedule one for two is Vicodin, cocaine, meth, OxyContin, and Adderall, which apparently... currently, they were saying was less than, oh my gosh. Schedule 3, moderate potential for abuse dependence. They said Tylenol with codeine, ketamine, steroids, testosterone.
People get addicted to testosterone?
How?
I didn't.
Doesn't your body make it?
Yeah.
Okay. Schedule, this is 4, low potential for abuse and dependence. Xanax, Darvon, Valium, Ambien, Tramadol, and then what the hell is ATVN?
Ativan.
I don't even know what that is. It's like a medicine for birds. I don't know what that is. Lowest potential, Tussin. Lyrica, Motofen. I don't even know what these are. These sound like nonsense drugs. These sound like herbs. Cooking herbs, except for the Tussin.
Put some Tussin on it.
Nobody will get addicted to Tussin. Let's just make that clear. If you get addicted to Tussin, you're on... the marijuana ecstasy. You're there's something else happening here. Nobody gets addicted to Tussin because that's nasty. That is nasty. Ugh. You know where they get Tussin at?
Tussin Factory?
No, they get it out of them brain worms, like the kind that RFK has.
I didn't know that.
I know. It's a real story. So the Democrats are like, well, gosh dang, we ruined everything with our economic policies. Nobody can buy a house. Everybody has the invisible tax of inflation. They can't buy anything. We're going to have to jack taxes up. Everybody's actually going to be in the desert eating cat food. Let's give them some marijuana. So there, he says he's going to, they're going to, you're going to put it on a different schedule. What is it? What is he going to put it on? What's the schedule?
Schedule three, I thought. He's putting it in schedule three. So he'll put it in with Tylenol, with codeine.
Everything sucks, but here's some pot.
Let them smoke pot.
Yeah, it's the new let them eat cake. Let them smoke pot. That's what it is. Oh, my gosh. And they think that's going to do it. They think that'll be the thing. Let's just, well, maybe with some people it will. They're going to, look at what they're doing. Pay off the student loans, right? Pay off. By give our money to pay off other people's student loans. So they'll buy. Biden's buying votes with our tax dollars. Yeah. And then out with us. But don't forget, he's going after menthols, though. Wait a minute. How are you going to be going after menthols, but you're going to be putting pot on the schedule
didn't
three?
Didn't he pause going after menthols, and now he's back on to going after menthols again? Like it's.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't get that either. I don't get menthols at all, because isn't it like mouthwash and a cigarette?
I guess.
It's scope, if you could smoke it. Do you like a stick of scope to smoke? Try saying that fast.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. Gonna have fresh breath. You're not gonna smell like an ashtray. I don't know.
No, you still smell like
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Have you smelled menthol?
Yes.
It literally smells like someone set fire to scope.
But have you smelled a person who's been smoking menthols all day?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever have. Everybody in my family smoked Marlboro Reds until they came out with the gold package.
It's a little different than pulling one of those fresh little burners out of the pack. Yeah. Slightly different.
I am fascinated by it. I still don't understand. Is it fiberglass in there?
I heard that as the rumor. I've never confirmed that with any sort of testing, but I've heard that
rumor. Treating you like I do Chris right now. Like, I'll get onto something, and then I'll ask Chris a million questions about it, because Chris is the engineer, and he's interested in this boring stuff, right, that I just want answers to. I'm only fascinated by this stuff in so much as I can find the answer immediately for it, right? Like, the How It's Made show, that's his favorite show on television.
I'm still struggling with why testosterone's a schedule three.
Yeah, how is that? How do you get addicted to what your body already makes?
Like, why can't that be a schedule five?
I mean, I guess I understand the steroid thing. Why that? I
can see that maybe, but
I see Juan's typing in Slack. Juan's getting ready to explain this to us.
Uh oh, Juan, what are you saying?
Because Juan's into like fitness and all that, so he understands it. Because you can't juice with it, right? Juan goes. Juan says, I had a roommate in college that used to eat toothpaste. Ooh. He was probably high AF. So do bodybuilders juice with testosterone? They do? Sure they do. Yeah. Is that because the steroids, you know, like shrinky-dink things?
I guess so. But I mean,
I'm made also, of questions right now. I'm sure that the chat and Twitter will not disappoint.
It's a way to get those gains without anything illegal showing up on
I mean, I've heard of like testosterone replacement therapy, and you know, the low T joke that goes around with some dudes. I get
different.
That, but
that's different than juicing it like while you're bodybuilding.
Ew. But can you become addicted to it though?
I don't know. I did hear the rumor, and again, no confirmation on this, but that if you do the TRT, the testosterone replacement therapy, a bunch, that your body then just decides to stop making it because you keep introducing it.
Oh,
you know, unnaturally.
Doesn't
into your
it make
system.
You hairy?
So, what testosterone?
Yeah, wouldn't that make you get hair?
Yeah,
like super hairy, like Sasquatch level.
Yeah, those male attributes.
Yeah, yep. Interesting. Yeah, so okay, I get the stare. Okay, Steve wants to know where creatine falls on this list. Isn't that like part of the your
I hear that as a
stuff?
Supplement to repair, help repair creatine, help build
creatine
muscle
or creatine?
Creatine.
Is there a difference?
Creatine. I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know these things. I just find this. He's just paying you all off with pot. That's what he's doing. You know, you can't afford anything. You can barely afford ramen, but go smoke your joint and thank Biden and vote for him. Jeez, it's all these people. Speaking of Biden, they want to wrap up the war in Gaza with a proposed Palestinian Hamas coalition government. That's what they have. It's the same thing. People realize this, right? It's literally the same thing. They want to wrap up a war that Hamas began in making Hamas the continued government there. What? That's like saying we're going to stop the Nazis by making a government where the Nazis are in charge. What? That doesn't make any sense. The Biden administration could not secure a hostage deal. And every time there was a truce, every time there was a ceasefire offered, Hamas rejected it, except the last one where they said, well, we'll give you some dead hostages and that's it. So now they, apparently the sticking point is that Hamas wants to just stay where they are without any consequences. And you can't have that. So I don't know. You can't have a quote unquote Palestinian Hamas coalition government because they elected Hamas by a major percentage. So I don't know. They're getting nervous about Dearbornistan, though. I do know that. That's making them very, very nervous. The FBI and DHS have issued a warning on foreign terrorist groups for what they said was June Pride Month. Now, we've talked about this because Pride Month is coming and it's going to be rainbow, all the things. So everyone's going to be putting up, everything's going to be coat, like everything from goldfish crackers to mouthwash to basic things are going to be coated with indicators of how people have to sexes. Oh, I can't purchase these crackers because these crackers don't celebrate how I choose to have to sex. So that's a real thing that's going to be happening all of June. I mean, you know, Memorial Day gets a day, but all of June. So the FBI and Department of Homeland Security issued a public service announcement saying that for terrorist organizations like ISIS, they might target certain events during Pride Month. You mean like the terrorists in Orlando? Or what about the terrorists that sat outside, was it in Washington, outside of a gay club in Washington and killed two dudes? But nobody talks about that. Shh. Just curious. But I thought everything wasn't for ISIS. I thought it was all for white supremacy or something like that. I mean, that's what I was told. But wait, is the warning about trans killing people?
No, actually, that would make more sense
considering the school shootings. Like the ones in Nashville with the trans terrorists and the other trans terrorists that was killing people and the other trans terrorists and the other trans. I mean, that would make more sense.
Yes.
I don't know why they said ISIS. Maybe they messed up and they meant to say trans. I'm just, you know, the more militant trans folks. Now, speaking of Biden and craziness and drugs, cocaine. They found more in the White House. Capitol Police are investigating after a bag with cocaine was found on the floor inside of the in the Capitol Police headquarters, guys. Mm-hmm. Currently, Capitol Police are investigating themselves as to why they had cocaine. It was found on the floor of a hallway inside their headquarters on the second floor in an area designated as a staging spot for furniture and supplies. Now, they said, well, it's heavily trafficked by people. That sounds like somebody just dropped it there. But I don't. I think that they just put it there because they were going to get caught. That's what I think. Was it Hunter? I mean, notice how we didn't have a problem with cocaine in the White House until Hunter Biden lived there. Just saying. So the Capitol Police are investigating themselves, guys, as to how in the world they had cocaine in their headquarters right there on the floor where everybody, they're going to try to figure that out. It's a real mystery, that one. Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to come out with their they said that they're look at their, it was only discovered though just recently, second floor. They issued a statement and they said that surely they tested it, it came back positive. And so this is, remember the cubby just over the last summer when they found some cocaine in the cubby? Locker number 50.
That high traffic cubby?
High traffic. It's always high traffic. No, it just shows you Hunter Biden was up there. That's what it shows.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, an Indiana Superior Court rules, and I have no idea why we would need an Indiana Superior Court to rule, but they're saying that, this is an actual headline, that tacos are Mexican-style sandwiches. Now, this happened because of a dispute between a restaurateur, Martin Quintana, and the Allen County Plan Commission over the type of establishment allowed in a strip mall. He faced opposition because they only wanted made-to-order Subway-style sandwiches, but they determined that this did not exclude Mexican-style sandwiches. So they said, yes, the court agrees with Quintana that tacos and burritos are, in fact, Mexican-style sandwiches.
Burritos are sandwiches?
Right. I'm going to call shenanigans with the burrito. The taco, I'll give. But the burrito, I mean, technically it is bread. You know,
but
if it gets
a Mexican,
look at us. We're arguing about this. What is happening?
Do a strip mall, then I'm for it.
Yeah, why do we have to have the government involved in this?
Right.
So apparently now we're not supposed to call them dinks because child-free adults are Alice's. You have asset limited, income constrained, and employed.
We need that category.
Really? I like dink because it's funner to say and it reminds me of Spaceballs. Dink, 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 dink. Let's see. This Johnstown man broke into an apartment and left footprints. He incriminated himself. He left footprints in Cajun seasoning. Delicious footprints. He's facing felony burglary charges. He damaged a residence, Chrisier Stevens, 21 years old. When they arrived, they said this guy entered through the side door and they found shoe prints and damaged the ceiling tiles and all the footprints outside. They tracked the Cajun seasoning. And because he stomped through the kitchen. So there you go. Let's see. Bay Area animal groups are stepping up because there are starving brown pelicans. A surge in starving brown pelicans. So they said that starving and skinny birds are being brought into care. It's the International Bird Rescue in Fairfield. You know, maybe they should give, instead of vodka shots, feed the birds. Yeah. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations. Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and frankly unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent. The effort to threaten to defund our investigations and the way in which there are contributions to an atmosphere that puts our agents and our prosecutors at risk, these are wrong. Look, the only thing I can do is continue to do the right thing. I will protect this building and its people.
But he has no qualms, Merrick Garland, who you just heard in the stunning audio. He has no qualms whatsoever with going after innocent Americans, whether it be colluding with the FBI to target parents who spoke out at school board meetings or marching into my town of Southlake and trying to undermine free and fair elections by demanding that our school district adopt this racist, discriminatory, Marxist cultural competency plan after the progressives here failed to get anywhere near even a quarter of the vote at the ballot box. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this third hour. They think, and that's what you heard, they think that this somehow means that they don't have to in any way answer any kind of congressional subpoena. They think that it's that they should be exempt from having to answer to that, which is wild. I mean, Democrats are the only people that say that they're not going to follow, they're not going to obey subpoenas, and they think that they somehow have like executive privilege. It's only applicable to them. They think it's only, and then follow up with this. This is what you were telling me about, Kane, right? The KJP audio. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is about Biden blocking the release of audio from his interview with special counsel. You know, nobody, there's no transparency here. Listen to this.
President Biden decided to block the release of the audio of his interview with the special counsel. And obviously the letter from the White House counsel laid out the reasons about the concerns of being used for political purposes. But that seems to imply that the White House is concerned that these could be politically damaging. So why not just release them, especially with this White House's commitment to transparency?
Well, for one, the transcripts, as you all know, is already out there. I think the second piece of this, too, to note is that the Attorney General made
redacted.
It clear that law enforcement files like these need to be protected. And so the president made his determination at the request of the Attorney General. So just want to make that second point that I made really clear. The Department of Justice and the White House Counsel's office have provided extensive written letters, as you all know. I'm sure some of you have read this on this issue. And like I said, that you have seen. And so when it comes to anything further or any specifics, obviously, I would refer you to my colleagues at the White House Counsel's office. But those are...
There's no transparency here. See, they don't have to do any of this stuff. Well, he's he does it's well, I, you know, they don't want to obey subpoenas. They don't want to be transparent. There is such a double standard that is so obvious out there. It's so obvious. No, we don't need to obey subpoenas. We don't need to be transparent and release the audio. You guys got the redacted transcript. That's what she didn't say. That was the word that wasn't included, Kane. Yep. That's what they didn't say.
It's true.
You know, this is more evident too when you look at the double standard, because so we had this effort, the Hunter Biden June 3rd trial date for his felony gun charges, right? He's been trying to get all that thrown. The judge has rejected his offer to delay the trial, which starts June 3rd. By the way, when's the first debate again, Kane?
June 27th.
The Hunter Biden gun trial.
Interesting.
Starts June 3rd. I'm here for this. I'm all here for it. I want to compare that with, look at the difference that Hunter Biden and Dexter Taylor. Hunter Biden. He incriminated himself in his own book. I just want to remind everybody that. When you fill out your 4473, one of the questions is if you're using drugs. I know, most drug users would probably say no. And Hunter Biden did. Except the exact same time that he was, because they know when you filled out the form and submitted it to run the background check, right? The exact same time he did that was literally talked about in his own memoir, where he said for this entire, like, what was it, 3 month span, he was high out of his mind. He gave the dates for that in his book, the months and the years. That's the exact time that he filled out the background check, the 4473. So you see what I mean? I mean, that's why this is happening, because he told on himself. He admitted it. And then they went back and tried to, you know what their excuse was, which blows my mind. They had two things. The first one was that, well, he was too high to know what he was doing. You can't take that for certain. He was too high. You don't know if this was accurate or not. He was high when he... Then the second one was they tried to say that drug use of controlled substances should not invalidate your Second Amendment rights, which was actually a ruling from Amy Coney Barrett, Cantor v. Barr, this ruling from her on a circuit court that Joe Biden railed against. So... It's fascinating. But I want to compare. This guy committed a felony. He admitted it. And he's out running around. Dexter Taylor did not commit a felony, because his gunsmithing that he did privately for himself is protected by federal law. New York tried to pass a licensing scheme long after Dexter Taylor was engaged in the legal federally protected act or affirmed act of gunsmithing, private gunsmithing. And then they tried to retcon the law to make him a felon. He released a statement addressing the court right before he was sentenced to 10 years, which was three times the maximum that he could have gotten. And we talked to his attorney. We've been talking to his attorney. On the simulcast, you saw it first on the networks that it airs on. I mean, we've talked to his attorney. We've talked to him. And we knew that it was kind of they switched out the white judge for a black judge because they didn't want it to look like they were persecuting a black man for a perfectly legal natural right. He released a statement that was pretty amazing. It's very long. I'm not going to read it here, but I will link it in a piece up at Substack. He had said, to quote another patriot from another place and time, this is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end. This is perhaps the end of the beginning. He says, so as we enter this new phase, this is Dexter Taylor's statement before the court, there should be no question in the mind of any patriotic American as to why we fight. After all, only slaves lack the right to armed self-defense, and we are no slaves, but free citizens of a great republic. And we contain multitudes, each of us from builder, a healer, a teacher, a statesman, a soldier, a judge, an attorney, a sergeant at arms, an image of God, so we know why we fight. And he said, what kind of discipline we must bring with us into battle, and what spirit we must show to our friends and our adversaries alike. And by way of answering, we refer to our core doctrines. He talks about the Foundationalist Manifesto. He talks about the dysfunction and how judges and attorneys and trial courts and juries in the light of day are merely what we have instead of the blood feud and vendetta and dagger in the dead of night. And he says, even knowing this and knowing the challenges, we give thanks. And we prepare ourselves for a battle in spirit of profound dissatisfaction and profound gratitude in equal measure. He notes the contradiction. And he says, so why our adversaries look for us, let them find, to quote my Christian friend, a bee shiniest at a wasp's hostility. He said, let them show a soldier's intensity and a diplomat's calm. Let our adversaries find us stern in battle, patient in defeat, and gracious in our ultimate victory, which is certain. And I love this. This is like the fifth time this week I've seen this. It's an old axiom. He says, when I was a boy, my grandfather told me that fire is a great servant, but a terrible master, and so it is with government. And to that extent, our own government attempts to be our master. We must oppose it. He says, we must fight to the utmost limits of our strength, but in that fight, our spirit must be one of restoration, not destruction. We must confront the enemy as the firefighter confronts his enemy for the same reasons that the structure itself may yet be saved. He adds, God bless. That was part of his ending comments. Apparently, they call him Teach in jail because he's talking to the young folks. So all the other prisoners are calling him Teach. You know, some of Paul's greatest witness and evangelism was in the jail cells. Reminder. But the sad thing is that Dexter Taylor is going to have to sit in that jail cell as this fight goes on. He's going to have to sit there as the fight goes on. I got to tell you something. Over the past few days, actually past couple of weeks, I've gotten calls from major politicians who want me to do a gun owners for this politician, or to do a Second Amendment fundraiser for this politician, or to raise money for this group. I've had major national gun rights organizations, including one that's going to be hosting a huge convention in Dallas this weekend, who had reached out asking me to help fundraise or do this or that. And I've declined every one of them. And I answered three politicians in the past week and a half. Point to me your remarks about Dexter Taylor. I don't want to name them, but I will, if they don't. Some of them might make you mad. But I've asked, point to me your remarks about Dexter Taylor and the travesty that he's enduring right now. Have you spoken out for him? Because if you can't speak out for such blatant injustice as what's being done to him, how in the world can voters expect you to speak out about anything else involving them? For these big gun rights organizations that always proclaim to be there for your rights, but they only get in the fight at the last minute when they see that other people have already won it. Why should anybody fundraise for you or speak out for you when you can't even speak out to the simplest injustice that's fallen this man? So, and I don't feel bad about saying no to any of them. I'm sure I've made a couple of them mad, and I probably burned a couple bridges, but I don't care. That's like the least. This guy's sitting in jail. That's the least anybody could do. And to note the difference between like Hunter Biden and Dexter Taylor. Where's the GOP on this? Where is that ad? You want to talk? You can sit here and talk about giving people pot and paying off their student loans all day long. But what the hell does that matter if they're being thrown in jail for perfectly legal things? When you have the state that decides to retcon law and target someone, Jim Crow style, and put them in jail for a perfectly legal, federally protected activity. Where's the Republican Party on that? I see press conferences every day about one particular witch hunt in New York. You know who else is in jail in New York? Dexter Taylor. Have any of these lawmakers that have gone up there to New York, have they bothered to walk a few blocks over to where Dexter Taylor's being held? Give a press conference for that man? You know, we got other people being persecuted here that don't have the money, that don't have the connections, but you know what? The impact of their fight is just as great, especially when it concerns our Second Amendment right of self-defense. You note carefully, friends, who is speaking out and who isn't. You note carefully what gun rights groups are speaking out and which ones aren't. You watch what politicians are coming to his aid and who isn't. Because when those people turn around and they beg, save us, we're going to say no. Make sure you go find his Give, Send, Go. We'll link it any chance we get. He needs the help.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So yesterday, I mentioned the story of how the Disney World Park, they've very, very quietly removed the Tinkerbell character from their meet and greets. Because they had these, like, when you go into, I guess, what some of their stores, they would have, like, these, like, some of the costume characters greet the little girls going in. They'd help them pick out, like, their princess dress and makeup and all this stuff. And apparently, Disney has a Stories Matters team from, this is according to The Street, Disney has a Stories Matter team. And so their job is to look at all the stuff that Disney does, and they're trying to make sure that it's woke. Like, or what they say, palatable to modern audiences is how they say it. And so they apparently got rid of Tinkerbell for two reasons. They said she was potentially problematic because she was first body conscious, and the second one, jealous of Peter Pan's attention. This is confirmed by New York Times. That was considered problematic. What's not considered problematic is that they sanctioned the use of dudes dressing up as princesses and saying that they were fairy godmothers apprentices and taking little girls throughout the stores to pick out their princess dresses and makeup instead of like the Tinkerbell characters. That's not problematic. So that's number one. The second thing I got to really quickly, can I just share with you this tweet? I don't know if you guys saw this. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I don't want to take Kane's time, so I'm going to be fast. This is a tweet. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. It's from The Nation. It says, quote, "The transmisogyny of today emerged out of colonial practices of policing populations that were then applied closer to home in the metropole."
What the hell?
Word salad. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Today in Stupidity.
Wait a minute. That wouldn't be Today in Stupidity?
Yeah, it's a lot to process.
Because we are out of time on playing the audio. But the CPI data came out. Karine Jean-Pierre is claiming that it was an inverted leak. Like, they weren't expecting this info to come out. So, just so you know, inflation continues to rise. It has never gone down. CPI, now the rate of how inflation rises has lowered a little bit, but that doesn't stop inflation at all. So, don't be gaslighted by the inflation narrative. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's it. All right, that does it for us today. Have a great night. Sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.